Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We've entered into the 29th week of Ordinary Time. Five more weeks to go, 29 out of 34 weeks. Five more weeks to go left to our church year. Advent is breathing down our necks, Christmas right after that. So if you're that kind of person who gets anxious about holiday seasons and things like that, I don't want to excite you or anything else like that, but we're moving close towards the conclusion of our church year, and then Christmas looms in front of us. So so just get ready, you know, for all this as we move together into this part of our liturgical season. There, though, is much to gain and much to learn and much to adapt in our own lives from what is left of our church year. So like I said before, basically this latter part of our church year focuses upon what it means to live this life as a believer. We've been taught about what it means to be a believer. We've been taught the elements of what it is that we believe. And now as we move towards the end of the church year, we embrace a lex vivendi. So again, in Latin for, you know, the law of living. How do we live as a people of faith within this world? There is a law of belief. There is a law of prayer. And put them both together and they amount to a law of living. How is it that we are called to be this presence of Christ in this world? And what does it mean to live conscious of the fact that the presence of Christ lives within us? And so our readings for today, for this Sunday and during this week that we carry with us, are weird. Basically, they make no sense. So I should bring that out into the open. These readings are kind of bizarre in how they are linked together and what made the people who are putting together the new lectionary decide to combine them the way that they are. There are debates. They are all in Latin, but you can find them if you wish to do so. But how to make sense of all of this? And why do I say that? Well, because we begin with Exodus, and we begin with a great battle against a king, Amalek. And so these people who are the followers of King Amalek are trying to, or you know, Amalekites, as they are called, are trying to stop the Israelites from coming into the promised land because they've decided to live in it because the Israelites didn't live there anymore because they went to Egypt. But the promised land belongs to Israel. So what do we need to do? We need to get rid of the Amalekites. Mow them down. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible first reading. And the way that's done is by Moses holding up his arms like this, holding up his arms. And the more that he holds up his arms, the Israelites have the victory in the battle. If he gets tired and his arms go down, then the Amalekites have the victory in the battle. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. But Moses then gets two, I think the sons of Aaron, they hold up his arms. They give him a stone to sit upon and so that he can keep his arms up all the time until, as it says, you know, Joshua and the armies mow down the Amalekites with the sword. Happy. So it's like, you know, again this warrior God, you know, who again Israel has interpreted as the one who has led them into freedom from slavery, you know, has given them this promised land, now demonstrates this God's self in a very bloody, aggressive, horrific, warlike way. And what are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do with that? Again, the whole idea of Moses' arms out and there's victory if he does that, and then not victory if his arms go down. What are we supposed to take with from all of that? Well, then we have Luke's gospel. Again, the first reading and the gospel always connected to each other. So Luke's gospel, and here we have a wonderful parable about a widow who wants justice, you know, in her life. Why? Because widows didn't have any justice. Widows were considered marginalized people. Again, your husband is what mattered. The man mattered. The woman did not. But this widow wants justice for herself because of some bad business deal or something else that went wrong, you know, in her life. And the judge, because he is not a good judge, he is not a nice judge, he is not an honest judge, it says, doesn't want to give her the time of day. But the widow is persistent, and she demands justice, she demands justice, she demands justice. And the judge basically says, I'd better listen to her and even more settle in her favor, or else she's going to strike me. And so this is very, so again, this woman may have no rights in ancient Israeli society. She may have no rights in whatsoever amongst the civic whatevers, but she still has the power, you know, to get what she wants, even if she has to be aggressive about it. And so the judge, you know, finds in her favor and she gets her case resolved in the best way. Well, again, this very strange parable that Jesus gives is basically to show persistence, that we need to be as persistent with God for what it is that we need, as was this widow with this judge who wouldn't give her the time of day. Now, too many layers come into play with all of this. Again, how do we connect that first reading, you know, to the gospel? And then the second reading from Timothy basically is a command by Paul to not just Timothy, but to all the people that now Timothy cares for, to proclaim the word. The word must be known. Scripture must be understood. Scripture must be listened to. Scripture must have an impact and an effect on our lives. Because if it doesn't, then basically it comes up to nothing. It doesn't reveal its power. It doesn't unleash its power. We need to be people who let the word of God speak through our actions, through our mouths, to what it is that we are, what it is that we do. And we must always be faithful to proclaiming the word however we can, in whichever way we can. But that understanding, again, what Paul is asking Timothy to do is maybe the key, you know, that underlies, you know, all of this. And that's basically it. Ours is a God who provides. We can never forget that. Ours is a God who wants to provide for us. And our God wants us also to know that we can be comfortable, that we can be honest, that we can be vulnerable in asking for what it is that we need. And even when it means that God may be late or delayed or whatever it is in giving us what we need, we never stop asking for it. Again, our Orthodox brothers and sisters understand this truly when in so many of their prayers and prayer forms, it's again and again, let us badger the Lord, because that's what it's all about. Too many times, again, we place God on this high pedestal, you know, who is at most indifferent, you know, to us, and at worst, basically just as disinterested and doesn't really care about us. But that's not the case. We have put God up there because many times, like that dishonest judge, we don't have time for each other. We don't want to deal with each other. We don't want to deal with each other's problems, cares, woes, whatever it is. We just want to care about ourselves. We want to be selfish and egotistical. Again, these elements within our human life that are the worst that we can be and that we cannot be if we're going to be true to ourselves as believers in this world. Abraham was persistent, again, in his own understanding. Not Abraham, Moses was persistent in what it is that that could be done through him so that the victory could be given to the Israelites, how God could work through Moses to let Israel have the victory over the Amalekites. This persistence, keep my arms up, hold my arms up, let me sit down. Whatever needs to be done, I will do it so that what needs to be done can be done. Killing Amalekites, not so great, but it gets the job done, if you know what I mean. But the thing about it is, within this also, though, this is where this widow, persistent as she is, she knows what she wants, and nothing will deter her from getting what she wants, even if it means striking the judge, you know, because the judge won't listen to her. Again, striking God, you know, you never know. I mean, maybe that's how that wakes up God, to realize that we need help. We need something to be done. We need God to act. Again, it is not about us. It's not about us alone. And why is this? Because the word of God tells us it is God who takes the initiative. It is God who gets things done. It is God who makes things happen. We have to be people who remember that, because in that remembering, in that persistence of wanting God to be God in our lives, that we remember God in order that you might remember, allows for faith to flourish, allows for faith to become something that is real and tangible in this world. Not a pipe dream, not a fantasy, not a teddy bear that we hold on when things get dark and spooky. Our faith has power, but a power that is built upon our persistence in never giving up. That God has a plan in store for us, that God can get things done, that God wants to care and wants to love us. To live that way allows this world to see something more about itself. It is not lost. It is not abandoned. It is not forlorn. It is a part of God. And in being a part of God, it can ask for whatever it needs, conscious and truthful that God will answer. Continue blessings and prayers from Franciscan Media, and may the Lord always give you his peace.